the hardest part. Always a smooth transition from Speak, O Lord, to Tom Petty, one of the great theologians of our day. Welcome to Friendship Community Church. I'm Michael DeMarco. I'm the pastor here. And there are so many reasons that we wait, right? What are some of the things that we typically wait for that we don't enjoy waiting for? What are some things that we wait for? Food, pizza, birthdays. What do we have back there? It was a good one. What? Oh, the DMV. You know, you can go to the Mount Juliet Police Department. They have that little kiosk, and you can, oh, I just created a line for that now. The secret's out. What else? What about in relationships? Marriage? Yeah, for singles that want to get married, yes. There's other things when you're single that you're supposed to wait for as well. But when it comes to waiting in the Bible, typically all of the instances that we find ourselves waiting in life fall into three different categories when it comes to waiting. And so the reasons that we wait for God usually surround one of these three ways. One, we're waiting for his providence. And I'm not talking about traffic at Providence and waiting for that. I'm talking about waiting for God's will to be shown when you're seeking God's providence. Also, waiting for his salvation. Not just salvation for your sins and from your old life to your new life, but salvation from a situation. God, take me out of this job. God, save me from my creditors. cast a pox and locusts upon my creditors. No. So we're waiting for salvation, God's providence, but we're also waiting for his blessings. We're waiting for the good things that we feel like we deserve in life. The things that will make us happy, will make us fulfilled. Well, there's one other type of waiting on God that's revealed throughout the New Testament especially, but also in the Old Testament. That's waiting on Christ. First, the Jews were waiting for their Messiah, for the Son of God to save God's people. And when Jesus came, many of the Pharisees and the scribes were still waiting with Jesus right there, after his death and resurrection, they were still waiting and then waiting for his second coming. So in our lives as human beings, there's really a few different types of delay, right? There's relational delay. There's relationships that we want to be made whole. There's relationships that we don't even know of yet that we're wishing for, we're dreaming for. Relational delay. There's professional delay in getting the raise that you want, getting the position that you want, getting the respect that you want. And then there's spiritual delay. An invisible show of hands, you can sit on them. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you are waiting for a spiritual change in your life? Where you're looking for that spiritual change, that freedom from sin that's been habitual, that you just can't shake. So this morning, what I wanted to do was give you 2 points on what it means to wait. Excuse me. Carol Pipes, thank you for this water over here. Carol had the gift of prophecy this morning. She goes, I'm going to get you a water. Where would you like it? And I said, over there. There are 2 points that I'm going to make this morning about waiting on God. 2 points, and the first point is pretty direct. It's pretty sweeping. And the second point is going to have a few sub-points to it. All right? So the first point is this, that for the Christian and the non-Christian alike, this might be a newsflash for you if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't believe in God, but our God is a promise-keeping God of perfectly timed delay. Our God is a promise-keeping God of perfectly timed delay. What kind of God would we serve if he didn't keep his promises, if he didn't keep his covenant with his people? Do you know the difference between a covenant and a contract? A contract says you and I enter into an agreement, a contractual agreement, and if you break the contract, then I'm going to walk away from it because you broke the contract, so that gives me the freedom to walk away. A covenant says that even if you break your end of the bargain, I'm going to keep my end of the bargain. Our God is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God of perfectly timed delay. Think of all the delay that we see in the Bible. If we believe in an all-powerful God in the universe, then doesn't it make sense that the all-powerful God in the universe could create the heavens and the earth like that? And yet he delayed. He took six either literal days or figurative days, depending on your theology of creation. It really doesn't matter. For this point, God took his time to create the heavens and the earth, and then he delayed creating man, Adam. He didn't create Adam on the first day, but then after he created Adam, he delayed in creating Eve. And then what about when God saw Adam and Eve sin and saw the heart of men and women, the hearts of men and women be rebellious and turn to evil? God could have wiped out the planet when he saw how evil it was in an instant, but he didn't. He delayed by his grace, by his mercy, and he found a man and he found a family to save along with all the animals, right? Noah and his wife Joan, Joan of Arc, right? Wait, no, that's not right. Do you know that like over 80% of Christians polled think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife? It's crazy. So, but he delayed, and then it took, if you've seen that ark and how long it took to build in Kentucky, it took Noah even longer to build that ark. And then there was the delay after the earth was covered in water. How many days did the rain come? And how many days was Noah waiting for a sign of God's covenant and salvation? 40 days. Delay. The delay of the covenant of the rainbow. The delay of Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers and being imprisoned in Egypt and rising to a place of prominence, all so that God could save the Israelites through Joseph. Not only that, but think of just Sarah and Abraham, going back a bit. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is promised that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars. And Abraham and Sarah got to the point where they were older than anyone in this room, and yet still without a child, they took things into their own hands in the waiting. The waiting was too hard for them. And yet God was still faithful. All the way to the end. Have you ever thought of this? At the end of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, followed by the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, there is a delay in between those two books of the Bible of over 400 years before the gospel could be told about the story of the Messiah coming. And then still we have the Messiah that's come to earth. We celebrate on Christmas, right? And the Messiah arrives as what? A baby. Delay. We have to wait over 3 decades for the ministry of Jesus to start. And then Jesus dies on the cross. What do we have? An instant resurrection? No, we have delay. What did that delay reveal about the disciples? That they had forgotten everything that Jesus had told them. Boy, they're dumb. Not like us. Not like us. If we would have been there, we would have reminded everybody. We would have been the Bible answer man or answer woman. No, delay. And then Jesus ascends into heaven and leaves his Holy Spirit for the church. And what do we do? He's coming again, right? delay. But our God is a promise-keeping God of perfectly timed delay. You see, to the God of the universe that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-creating, he has all the time in existence. He's outside of time, but for you and I, for us, time is the most precious commodity. So in God's schedule, in God's domain, which is everything, he's got all the time in the world. But for us, we start to stress out when there's delay because I'm only here for a precious short amount of time. And in my world, where I'm the center of it, I need to get things done. I'm not getting any younger. My beard is getting longer and grayer. Time is in precious short supply for us. Do you know what sin is? Do you know what sin is? What is sin? Sin is missing the mark, disobedience to God and his commandments. But do you know when sin happens? Sin is what fallen sinners do in times of delay. Have you heard that old saying? My dad would say that idle hands are the devil's playground, devil's workshop. Yes, my dad would use workshop because it sounded more sensible, and he grew up in the Great Depression. He wouldn't use playground. But yeah, idle hands, when you're bored, when you have nothing to do, when you're impatient. Sin is what fallen sinners do in times of delay. Yet waiting is what saved sinners do in times of delay. Waiting is what saved sinners do in times of delay. So let me outline for you the benefits of waiting on God. That's the second point this morning. We're going to have a few subpoints here. Let me outline the benefits of waiting on God, because all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have case after case after case of saved and fallen sinners that couldn't wait on God. Just think of the story of Moses going up the mountain to commune with God, to get God's commandments, to bring back to his people. And while the Israelites are waiting for Moses to commune with God, what do? They're like, he's not coming back. We're panicking. We're going to make, hey, Moses' brother, let's make a God to worship. Otherwise, we're going to perish. And so they form a golden calf and worship it. And Moses comes down off the mountain going, you couldn't wait? That's what we do. So let's go over the benefits of waiting on God. First, it leads to expectancy. Now, we're talking about like Christmas expectancy, like, oh, goody. There's some expectancy that comes to expectant parents to be, whether adoptive or biological. By the way, Justin Fraker is back, the new daddy. He's in the back. They got to bring home baby Ezra Michael from the hospital. By the way, Justin and Sarah, they had this healthy baby boy, except for his body wasn't responding, his blood sugar wasn't high enough, and so they had to leave the hospital earlier this week. They had to leave the hospital without their firstborn son, their first baby, and they had to wait. Oof. But they took him home yesterday? Yes. And Justin is here operating the slides and creating sermon bumpers with Tom Petty lyrics. It leads to expectancy. That's a great benefit. Psalm 5:3. David says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Many of you have a habit of doing daily devotionals where you get up in the morning, you might do a Bible study or you might read a daily devotion at Men of Meat, our monthly men's gathering. Yesterday morning, we talked about Oswald Chambers, who wrote this amazing and biblical daily devotion called My Utmost for His Highest that's available for free online, and I recommend that. But this verse says, in the morning you hear my voice. God does. Does God hear your voice in the morning, first thing? Or are you too busy to wait on God? In fact, not only does God hear David's voice in the morning, but David prepares a sacrifice for God. Think about that. David is expectantly waiting and watching for God's will, God's voice to speak to him, but he doesn't wait to receive the voice, doesn't wait to receive the food, doesn't wait to receive the blessing or God's providence in his life before he gives his sacrifice. He gives his sacrifice first out of faith. Secondly, the benefit of waiting on God leads to hope. It leads to hope. When you wait on God, it leads to hope. Psalm 33:20 says this. It leads to hope. Psalm 33:20 says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. You could throw in there our hope as well, because when you need help, it means you're helpless without him. When he is your shield, it's meaning you need protection. And without protection, you have no hope. Yesterday, it was one of my favorite days of the week. It's Saturday, and it's not because it's my half day off before setup, but it's because of college football. I love college football, and I love my beloved Oregon Ducks. And my Oregon Ducks traveled to Laramie, Wyoming to play the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and they have one of the highest rated projected quarterbacks to go in the NFL. And so there's half of all the NFL scouts there, 16 scouts just to see this quarterback for the University of Wyoming. And this poor kid was just pummeled and sacked and injured. He had the worst showing of his career because he had no protection. He had no shield. Against the Oregon Ducks, he had no hope. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he certainly was waiting on protection. And that's where our hope needs to be. When we put all of our hope in self-defense, in protecting our heart, protecting our own reputation, our possessions, when we hold on to things tightly and we're our only hope, it becomes a desperate and lonely life. But here is another benefit to waiting on God. Waiting on God leads to trust. Waiting on God leads to trust. That makes sense, right? Logically, when we wait on God for providence, for salvation, for blessing, it leads to trust. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, the prophet says, I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. When we hope in the Lord, when we wait on the Lord, it shows who we put our trust in. Finally, when we wait on God, it leads to patience. It leads to patience. How many of you have heard the phrase or heard the saying, oh, don't pray for patience? Right? Don't pray. Why don't you pray for patience? Why are you not supposed to pray for patience? Because then God will give you things that make you wait. Because why would you get your way if you need to learn patience? So there's this whole, I'm not going to pray for patience then. Tennessee Vol fans, Butch Jones detractors, I'm not patient anymore. Give me Chip Kelly. Give me Les Miles, who claps like this. What? He does. He kind of claps funny. So that wasn't in my sermon notes so well. So why don't you pray for patience? Because God's going to give you things that are going to test your patience. And so it makes sense. Oh, well, then you should pray for patience. You should suck it up, buttercup, and pray for patience because you need it. But I am here to tell you, you shouldn't pray for patience. And I'll tell you why in a moment. First, let's read these verses in, I'm making you wait. Did you catch that? In Romans chapter 8, we love Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We tell all of our friends when they're facing disappointment or they're facing the waiting game that God's going to work everything to good for those who love them or are called according to his purpose. But we forget about the verses that come before that, starting with verse 23 through 25. Paul writes, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." There's a lot going on in there. First off, I want to point out first fruits. Normally, we hear that phrase first fruits when it comes to our offering, our tithe, our sacrifice of our money and our possessions, going back to that psalm of David waiting in the morning that God hears, first hears our voice, and then we wait expectantly as we bring an offering to God of our time, of our talent, of our treasure. Well, this says that we've received the first fruits of the Spirit. That means that God's Spirit, that God is pouring out his best to us, his best power, his best personhood in the Trinity for convicting us of sin, of revealing what we need to do to change, to become more Christ-like, to be sanctified, to be holy. So God gives us his first fruits. But we have to ask ourselves, what do we give in return? Do we go like at a fast food counter and pay for our meal before we receive it? Have you ever gone to a nice sit-down restaurant? Like, I love Gondola House, by the way. I love Gondola House, Italian food. And if you're from the South, you can say gondola. That's okay. You can say gondola, but it's gondola. So Gondola House, accents on the G-O, gondola. And so I love, and sometimes I'll get takeout there. The women's ministry celebration, y'all had gondola, the gondola salad with all that crispy prosciutto on top, and then the pasta with the sauces. So I went to pick up the takeout order that I had ordered for you all, and it was a big bill, right? And so they print out the receipt, and they're waiting to, and I'm waiting for them to get the food together. And I go to sign the receipt, and then there's that little blank there for the tip, and I haven't gotten the food yet. And it's takeout. Do you tip on takeout? And they're like, "Hi, Pastor." And I'm like, "Oh, I got a tip." This job is the worst. And so, but have you ever had to, given something where you're offered the ability to tip before you get the service or you get the item? That's a really tiny example of the microcosm of giving your first fruits, giving a sacrifice, giving an offering to God. Because when the benefit of waiting on God is that it reveals and teaches us patience, it leads to patience, the reason I say that you shouldn't pray for patience is because what you're really praying for when you pray for patience is you're praying for the fruit of the Spirit. You're praying for the gifts that the Spirit gives believers that dedicate their lives to Christ and live in the Spirit and abide in Jesus. You're basically praying for gifts instead of, you're loving the gift that you don't have instead of loving the giver. And so don't pray for patience. Pray to be more like the giver of patience. Lastly, I said lastly the last time, but I didn't scroll far enough. It happens when you have 7 subpoints or 6 subpoints, you know, you forget. This last one's important. Waiting on God not only does all these other great things, but it also leads to revealing our character. Waiting on God reveals our character. So, as a pastor, when I get requests or I get suggestions or I have someone say, this is what we need to do, or I want to meet with you to talk about this, if I get a sense that this is not necessarily coming from a patient place or a humble place, guess what I make you do? Guess what I make you do? Wait. I make you wait. If you want to meet with me and there's something that is a request or to be heard, I will schedule an appointment. Not that day, but in a few days. Why? Well, first, if I sense that you're hot over something, you're hot-headed, or you're passionate, or that this something is really important to you, almost to the white-knuckled grip of making an idol out of it, I will make you wait so that you can cool down, possibly, so that the Holy Spirit can do a work in you, to potentially have the Holy Spirit do a work in me, but because it reveals character. And so I'm letting you in on my inside secrets of pastoring. And so you're like, oh, some of you are like, oh, now I know how to get what I want. I'll schedule something out to where I think I'm gonna want it. No, it doesn't work. So in other words, whether you lead a business or a team or a church or a family, this is great parenting advice, by the way. I'm sorry about this, that I'm doing this. I'm really sorry. I know. But this is something that you can use with your kids, not on your kids. That's not the, with you. This is something you can use. But in any position of leadership, when somebody wants something really bad, where you think that they're going to lose it and then they're going to go to a place of sin if they don't get it, don't tell them no. Just tell them not yet, because that's what God does with us. And what that does is it reveals maturity and character, where you're at. And this is not a gotcha thing. This is not a behavior modification thing. This is a pastoral thing. It's a parental thing. It's a leadership thing. It's a discipleship thing. Where when we don't get what we want, it doesn't reveal our true, it reveals our true character and maturity on a thing. If we get a no or a not yet. Now for me, for many times in my life, this message, this particular point is very convicting to me. It's very convicting because I can think back to many an occasion where I was not willing to wait because I was right. I was right. You know what happens to a coach on the sideline when they're right about a call and the replay doesn't go their way and the replay should go their way, and they walk out onto the field and they get in the referee's face? Yellow flag, 15 yards, unsportsmanlike conduct. That's what God does with us. Not because he hates us, not because he wants us to lose, but because he wants us to become more like Christ. Our ability and willingness to wait reveals our character. So, case in point, for me personally, for the staff, for the elders, for you, Shiloh Plaza. It's middle of September. Next week, summer ends, fall begins. We're still not in there. We had a our funding partner. It's called the Solomon Foundation. They fund churches to be built, especially for portable churches going into permanent facilities. One of the great benefits of working with them is that they have a vice president for construction that comes out and helps manage the process and is an advocate for the church so that they can be the heavy, so that, you know, the pastor can look all like meek and patient and whatnot. And so they visited last week, a pop visit. The contractor didn't know that they were coming, and they did a walkthrough. And afterwards, he said to myself and Neil Hamby, our director of operations, he said, y'all aren't going to be open in September. He goes, unless we light a fire under these guys, you're not going to be in for a while. And of course, Neil and I are like, okay, all right. And so the good news is they sent an email because, you know, emails solve everything. They sent an email to the contractor and said, look, you're behind on this, you're behind on this, it's affecting the church. We don't want the church to stumble across the finish line. We want them to go across strong. And, you know, it's extra expense to, we weren't planning on renting out the school for all these extra weeks. And so we're going to hold the checks that go to the contractor. They said they weren't going to pay. And amazingly, like within an hour, they get a return email from the contractor going, oh, well, let's meet. Let's fix this. Because the pipeline of money stopped. When we experience delay, like the delay of Shiloh Plaza, the delay of getting into someplace nice that we want to get into, it reveals our character. Do we come to God daily, not for the fruit, not for the fruit, but for the tree, the giver of the fruit? Do we come to him daily? Do we wait with anticipation? Do we see delay as a curse, or do we see it as a blessing? And so when we got this news at the beginning of the week, so we're in a holding pattern until this week when we find out what the new timeline is. What should we do? Well, the scripture and this message this morning says that we wait on the Lord. So here's my challenge for you, for me, for all of us, for those that are traveling, those that are hiding under the covers after a tough loss yesterday. when your feet hit the floor tomorrow morning, check your email, okay? Because if we have your email on file, or if you, like the last email that you provided the church, get out your connection card right now. If the last email you provided the church is like AOL, you know, and you need to update it, CompuServe, whatever, there's a little box on your connection card that says 40-day devotional email. Check that box, put in your email address, because we are going to have 40 days of waiting on God. Now, that's not a magical number that's when I think we're going to get into Shiloh. There's all sorts of 40-day periods within the Bible. I'm not expecting a flood. we've got rainbows, a covenant of the rainbow to protect us against that, but 40 days of waiting on God, where every day in your email, you're going to get a short devotional where you are encouraged to speak out to God, to praise him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is from, I think, Psalm 103, verse 1, where it's what it's God didn't sneeze. It's bless the Lord means it, praising him for what he's done. From your soul, not from your head, from your heart, with all your being, where you're going to praise God for 40 days. You're going to pray to God for 40 days, where you're going to read a scripture for 40 days. It's going to be a very short, easy email. But for 40 days, you're going to wait on God in those areas of your life that you have been waiting and waiting. You've been waiting for a spouse to return, a child to return. You've waited for your health to return. You've waited for recognition to return. This is not going to be a magic 40 days where you get everything you want, but it's going to be a 40 days where you return and you wait on the giver of gifts. You wait on the providence and the will of God. And so if you would, will you fill out that connection card? Check that box. Give us your email. And would you consider for the next 40 days looking to offer a sacrifice to God of your time, of your talent, of your money, your treasure for his work and for his will? Because God's delay is perfect. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we don't pray for patience this morning. We don't pray for blessing this morning. We don't pray for salvation this morning. We don't even pray for your will this morning. Father, we pray for you. We pray that you would make yourself real to us. For those of us that have lost faith, Father, we pray that you would make yourself real for us. For those of us that are tired, that are wore out, we're tired of rolling out mats, we're tired of picking up chairs, we're tired of writing checks in a gymnasium. We want to write checks in a dimly lit room with fog machines and ambiance and consistent air conditioning. Father, help us to get past looking at the gifts you give us. That's what children do. Father, help us to look to you as the great giver of gifts, the great playwright of our lives, where we're not the star, we're not the hero, but Jesus is. Help us this morning. Father, help us to wait on you, to sit at your feet, to cry out in prayer, for you to hear our voice. Before we check Instagram, before we check Facebook, before we check email, Father, help us to hear, help us to speak out to you. Help us to have you hear our voice. And then, Father, remind us to check our email in the morning, not for work, but for that communication from the church or the church's Facebook page for this devotion. Help us to journey together as a body, not as individuals, but as a body. Help us to commit to the next 40 days to growing closer to you, to become more like your Son. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.